So my family lives in a wonderful house right here in Crossroads, Texas. A house, mind you, that my wife designed, drew the plans for, and helped build. She's a miracle woman. But we are truly blessed in almost every way, except for one. My family lives in a wonderful house, which is situated in the middle of a cellular black hole. If you've been to my house, you know this fact. We live on 380, folks. It's not like we live in the country somewhere. We live on 380. You can hear the road noise. You would think I would be able to make a call from my house, wouldn't you? Oh, no, not from our house. It's like someone put up a Faraday cage around our neighborhood, and no calls can get in or get out. Every once in a while, I will get a single bar of 4G on my phone, and a call will come through on my cell phone. It's exciting. I look at my phone, and my phone kind of seems to be taunting me. You know, it's like, you feel lucky, punk? That's what my phone seems to be saying. And inevitably, I decide to be adventurous and answer the call, and the next minute or so is chaos. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? I can hear you. How about now? As I move around the room, I stand on one leg, I grab large metal objects trying to act as an antenna. What did you say? The frog drives space roses? That can't be right. And then I hang up in frustration. That's pretty much how phone calls work at my house. And today, we're going to wrap up this series looking at how God speaks to us. Wrong page. Four years, I have never done that. Excellent. See, but it all plays in because it can be really frustrating when we don't have clear communication, you know? And it's especially true when we're talking about communicating with God. God speaks to us. The Bible tells us that over and over and over again. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Jesus is referring to us in this verse, saying, "My sheep, you, me, listen to my voice." So the verse tells us a couple things. First of all, that God speaks to us. The second thing is he expects us to do something after we hear him. We don't just hear it, just for the sake of hearing it. There's action to be taken on the other side. But that isn't possible if either we don't listen or if we don't understand what God is saying. And so in this series called Whisper, we've been talking about how to hear, how to understand, and obey the whisper of God in our lives. And I truly believe the ability to hear God's voice is an essential part of our spiritual development as believers, to learn to hear God's voice. And we make a mistake if we only think of this in terms of, well, if God's going to speak, it's going to be this audible voice, like I'm talking to you right now. And though I think that's possible, the Bible tells us of instances where that occurs, and some have heard the audible voice of God. But God speaks in a variety of ways, and as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, what we want to do is learn to understand or to discern all of the different ways in which God speaks to us. He can speak audibly. He generally speaks. Probably the most common and direct way he speaks is through this book right here, through the Bible. So when you're reading the Bible, God is speaking to you. That's a great opportunity for God to talk to you is as you read his word, for the Holy Spirit to quicken the scripture to your heart and to your mind, and all of a sudden you realize that God is talking to you from the pages of scripture. God can speak in this whisper, and we talked about leaning in and hearing this still small voice. He can speak through pain, through painful circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in our lives. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:71. He says, "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees." That there was a lesson to be learned in his pain. Last week, we saw that God speaks through other people, that he sends other people into our lives, and he speaks into our lives through them, and they give us words of wisdom and prophetic words, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them to us. So today we're wrapping up this series, looking at how God speaks to us. And today we're going to talk about how God speaks to us through what I would call prompting. And I believe this is arguably the most common way that God speaks to us today outside of the Bible, is through prompting. But it's also one of the easiest things to misunderstand. And as we go back to the beginning, that clear communication is very important. And it's easy to be confused about this. Is it me? Is it God? How do I know? Let's dig in together and let's find out. So when we're talking about prompting, what are we talking about? The dictionary defines prompting in this way: to cause someone to say or to do something. To cause someone to say or to do something. And then the dictionary goes on to give some examples. Dictionaries are good like that. Kids of that age shouldn't really need prompting to say thank you for things. Okay, we've all been there. We've all seen that situation where a parent prompts their children, and how do they prompt them? They say, "What do you say?" You know, that's the prompt that they give their children. And so there's that nudge in the right direction. And the kid still has to come up with the words, "Thank you." You know, so they respond to the prompting that they're given. Or here's another example the dictionary gives. "Amazingly, without any prompting, my husband actually said how nice I looked in my new dress." Okay, guys, if she has to prompt you, you've missed the big opportunity, okay? Please take notes. You don't want your wife to prompt you to tell her how nice she looks. "Don't I look nice in my new dress?" You're done. Okay? This is not even part of the message this morning. This is just a bonus, but it may be the most important thing some of you husbands hear today. Okay? But God prompts us. God at times puts things in our heart. It's not that he's necessarily spoken to us the way I speak to you right now. It's that he's prompted us. So let's look at a couple of scriptures that highlight occurrences of this in stories from the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 5. "So my God gave me the idea to call together all the nobles and leaders of the city, along with the ordinary citizens, for registration." That's the New Living Translation. The ESV translates the beginning part this way: "God put it into my heart." So God gave me the idea. God put it into my heart. There's this idea, this concept, that God births an idea inside of us. So here's Nehemiah, and if you're familiar with his story from the Old Testament, God calls Nehemiah to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, to go back to his homeland, to his people, and rebuild these walls. Walls that had been broken down for over 100 years, and the city was empty. Walls that had continually been in disrepair. And God miraculously works through Nehemiah and his leadership and his prayers to bring about a miracle. And in only 52 days, something that hadn't been done for over 100 years is completed. So now the city has walls. It's defendable. It's in the process of being restored, but no one's living in it. I mean, it happened so quickly. It's just 52 days. For 100 years, they'd abandoned the city because it was defenseless. Now, 52 days later, it's got the walls rebuilt, but nobody's there. And it wasn't like people were moving back and saying, "Oh, they're rebuilding the city. I want to get my spot chosen. I want to get a prime piece of real estate in there." So the city's empty, and Nehemiah now realizes he's got a city with walls that's empty, and he's going to need to fill this up. And there's going to need to be some thought given on how he does that. He needs to make sure that it's the Israelites moving into the city, because there's a lot of foreigners in the land. And if they fill up the city, then the Jews are never going to be able to reclaim the land as God had commanded them to. So God prompts Nehemiah. He gives him this idea as to how to proceed. God gave me the idea. This was a God idea. And so one of the ways that God speaks to us is by prompting us. And when God prompts us, he puts an idea in your heart. There's something that just comes to your mind, a new idea. And here's the thing: a God idea is 1,000 times better than a good idea. Okay? That's why we want to spend time in the presence of the Lord. That's why we want to spend time in prayer, seeking him. We want to allow God that space to prompt us. Because here's the thing: there's some of you here this morning, and God has been prompting you, and you've been missing it. There are things that would bring blessing to people around you if you would do them, and God has been nudging you for some time. And if God prompts you, if you get a God idea, you can make all the difference in the world. There are areas of your life where God wants to do something. He wants to give you an idea of how to move forward, how to take the next step. And usually these ideas come from time spent in prayer, as we spend time with Jesus by focusing on him, really seeking the Lord, times of fasting. God cares about where we go, how we live, who we talk to. He wants to work in the big decisions in our lives. He wants to work in little decisions in our lives. And he wants to use us to move forward not only his purpose for our lives, but he wants to use us to be his hand extended to people around us, to make a difference in other people so they can discover his plan for their lives as well. God wants to use us in that way. So God might prompt you to encourage someone. God might prompt you to pray for someone. God might prompt you to write a note for somebody. God might prompt you to buy a meal for somebody. God might prompt you to bake a pie for somebody. In my case, he might prompt me to never bake a pie for anyone because he cares about people. God can prompt you to do things or he can put ideas in your heart. When we made the decision to move to Texas to plant a church, this was a God idea. This was not my idea. We didn't just think of it and say, hey, that would be awesome. Let's go plant a new church. Because I didn't want to plant a church. I would have much preferred to take an easier route. Starting something from nothing is never easy. Just ask anyone who has ever started their own business. Churches are the same way. So I didn't do this because it sounded fun. I did it because it kept coming into my heart. I could not let it go. And when there is a God prompting, you can't let go of it. It keeps coming back to you. You may throw the idea away. It's like a boomerang. It just comes right back. You can't get away from it. It just keeps kind of popping back up. So Melissa first brought up that idea about 7 years ago. Hey, Jeff, I think we should plant a church. And I told her she was insane. No, not going to happen. And then I remember one day I was sitting at a coffee shop at a church during that season where I was unemployed, basically. I would go to this coffee shop at a church that was near our house, and I would sit there and I would work all day and just kind of prep for sending out resumes and making contacts with people and doing all that stuff. And I was at this coffee shop, and I was praying about what was next for us, and no matter how much I prayed about other things or other opportunities, no matter how much I tried to shove this concept of starting a new church out of my head, it kept coming back. It would not go away. For like 2 hours, I prayed there in this coffee shop, and I might as well have been praying, God, please let me plant a new church. God, please let me plant a new church. God, please let me plant a new church. Because that's all I could think about the entire time. And I said yes. And we moved to Texas. We started a Bible study. And we started Trilogy. And here we are today. It all came from a prompting. Did I hear God speak to me? I didn't hear God speak, but he put it in my heart. And I knew that it was from God. That's a prompting. Let's look at another Bible story that tells us about this way that God speaks. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 14. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel. If you guys are looking for a name for your next child, Zerubbabel, I bet, is available. Okay? He was the governor of Judea. The temple is now in disrepair. It hasn't been rebuilt. This is before the time of Nehemiah here that we're talking about. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, there's another name that's available, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. So one of the ways that you can tell if God is prompting you is if you have an uncontainable enthusiasm in your heart for whatever that is. You're excited about something. You ever had something happen where all of a sudden you're just excited about that, and maybe you weren't ever excited before, but all of a sudden there's something there? Usually it's kingdom things that I'm referencing here, but it could be anything that you've been praying about. Now, all of a sudden you have an excitement. You have a passion for it. The word enthusiasm that is translated here from the Hebrew, the word enthusiasm, our word enthusiasm, comes from the Greek word entheos. Entheos, enthusiasm. Entheos literally means God is in it. Our word enthusiasm comes from that phrase, God is in this. So one of the ways I understand a prompting from God is when I become very enthusiastic about something. Now, this is hard for me because I'm pretty enthusiastic about everything. I don't go at anything like half-heartedly. I'm like all in on everything. But if I'm considering something, as I'm trying to discern the will of God, is God leading this way? I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what he wants to do. Because what he wants to do is always better than what I want to do. So when I have that enthusiasm in my heart, when I have that spark inside, then it helps me to know that God is in it. All of a sudden, I just feel like, wow, I just have a burden for this. And some people will say, I have a heart for this. I have a passion for this. I get excited about this. People have asked me, because when I came to Texas, when I moved here to plant Trilogy, I was 42 years old with 5 children. It's not the stereotypical church planting, you know, range of life, 42 with 5 kids. And they asked me, why? Why in the world would you plant a church at that stage of the game? You've done your time. You could go to a big church with benefits and everything. And all I can say, and the only way I could answer them, when I would think about going, about moving to Texas, about planting this church, it made my heart happy. Something just lit inside of me when I thought about it. It was something that would not be contained. And it makes my heart happy, even though it's one of the 2 things I said I never wanted to do in ministry. One of those was kids ministry. God still hasn't required that of me. And the other was planting a church. And all of a sudden, my heart was happy about church planting, something I swore I would never do. So all of a sudden, if it's not something you ever wanted to do, in fact, it's something you said, I will never do, but now your heart is excited about doing that thing, then maybe the Lord is prompting you to do it. Maybe that enthusiasm is entheos. God is in that. You see what I'm saying? The goal of this message, and really this whole series, is less about giving you 10 principles about things that you can write down, and more about helping you navigate this path on hearing and discerning the voice of God, because some things are more felt than telt. You know, they're more caught than taught. And there is a feelingness to hearing the voice and understanding and processing God's voice in your life. It's not solid. It's not concrete. This is squishy subject matter, folks. There's no way that you can just put this concrete and say, this is the absolute every time. This is something you're going to have to navigate. You're going to have to feel your way through it. And so those of you that are very logic-based, you're very left brain, everything has to make sense. It's always at a right angle. This is going to be a struggle for you. You right brain creatives, you got this. You understand. But those of us who are, you know, math and science and logic people, and you want everything to have an explanation, this is kind of squishy for us. So when it comes to prompting, that's what we're talking about. So let me give you some cautions. I want to kind of give you some gotcha moments and some things to watch out for as you're talking about listening and discerning the promptings of God in your life. First of all, they are not infallible. They're not foolproof. Okay? You may be very excited about something that's not even totally, or maybe not even at all, the Lord's will. You're just excited about something. You know, like you're excited about getting season tickets to the Cowboys because you like the Cowboys and because they're winning, okay? God's not even in that. God doesn't even love the Cowboys. Now, if they were Cubs season tickets, that's something different because baseball is God's sport. But you're thinking your excitement has gotten you confirmation from the Lord, okay? Excitement in and of itself does not mean God's in it. It's an indicator, but it's not the end. So sometimes you can be excited, but it's a worldly excitement. So don't go home and tell your wife, you know, I think it's God's will we buy this bass boat because I've never been more excited in my entire life, okay? This is definitely God. It is not foolproof. You can be excited about something, but what you have to do is hold things loosely, examine them, understand, and look at the other ways that God speaks to see if there's alignment, okay? Your first rule in spiritual living when it comes to hearing from the Lord is this: you may be wrong. That's the first rule. As we grow in our faith and we grow in our spiritual maturity, we will learn to discern more. The problem is that some of us, we don't want to step out in faith because we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to take that risk. And if that's the case, you're never going to learn and you're never going to grow, not in an unwise way. I'm not talking about an ungodly way or an unspiritual way, not in a selfish way or a non-biblical way. That's what I'm not talking about stepping out in those areas. But there are times you just need to take a risk. And here's the thing. If you are 51% sure that it's God, go. If you are, you're better than 50%, just go. Just move. Okay? So they're not foolproof. They're not infallible. Sometimes you have to take a risk. Number two, a prompting does not mean that what you're prompted about is something that's going to immediately happen. Promptings are not necessarily immediate. They're not always, you know, God can put things in your heart. He can prompt things in your heart that are not for the near future. But that doesn't mean you forget about it. You hold it closely. You guard it. You treasure it. You plan for it. And you work towards it. I was sharing the other night at the serve team celebration about our facility here at Cross Oak Elementary. We are blessed to have this school to meet in. This truly, the school does great things for us, and the principal here is just a great partner with us, and we are blessed to be able to use this space week after week. But guys, I want you to know, this is not the dream. This is not the dream that God has given me, and I know not the dream that he has given a lot of you. This is not what God prompted me about years ago. I know God has a piece of property in his mind. That property has a big sign on it that says Home of Trilogy Church. I know we're going to get some land at some point. I know we're going to build a permanent home for our church and for our community center. It's going to happen. God has given me that prompting, and he has confirmed it again and again and again. Now, just because he gave me that prompting a while back, and it's years down the road now from that point, and it hasn't happened yet, does not mean that I missed hearing from God. Not at all. It means it's a not yet dream. But let me say this, church. I believe that day is close. I believe God is working. I believe we're moving into a season of increase. I was talking with some of the leaders here, and I was sharing that word, that God just keeps using that word in my life and in my prayers, that word increase, and I believe God is going to bring something. I don't know what that looks like, but I just think we need to keep trusting God, following where he leads, and I believe God is going to lead us to the land and to the facility that he has for us. Can I get a big amen on that one? All right, good. But God's promptings are not always immediate. Final caution for you. Promptings are not information downloads. Sometimes when God prompts us and we feel this nudge in a given direction, we want the entire Wikipedia article on what's going to happen. We want every piece of information that we could possibly get before we're willing to do anything. Well, I just want to know. Well, of course you do. But he's not always going to tell you. In fact, rarely does God show us the steps. Rarely does God unfold the steps. He shows us the direction, but trusting comes in the story that unfolds from that point. He shows us the direction. If you have to know everything, then forget about walking by faith. And this is a faith journey. Hearing from God is a constant trust fall. You guys ever done a trust fall? You familiar with the concept? You have one person stand up on a table. You have some people line up behind them with their arms out. And the person just has to blindly fall back into their arms. How many have ever done a trust fall before? Okay. How many have never have? Okay. Here's the reality of trust falls. What happens the more you do them? It gets really easier. I mean, really easy. By the end, you're just like, okay, here we go. It's kind of fun. But that first one or two times is downright terrifying. And what inevitably happens is you get somebody who they get to about this point, and all of a sudden they pass the point of no return, and they panic, and they start to sit up. And now instead of their weight being distributed across, now they go bottom first, and it's awkward. And it could be painful. They could plunge right through. So here's the thing. You've got to be willing to fall back into the Lord's arms and trust that he's there to catch you. Following where God is leading without all the answers is a lot like that. The first few times you do it, it can be downright terrifying. But the more you do it and the more you trust God and the more he proves himself faithful to you, the easier it will become. And here's the reality. A lot of times, if God gives us all the information about what it's going to look like, that would probably scare us more. And we wouldn't have the courage to move forward. I mean, it's a whole lot easier to walk by faith. I found through the years it's easier to walk by faith if I know a little less. Because if I had known some of the things ahead of time, what I would face, what I would go through, I might not have had the courage to do them. So God, in his infinite wisdom, withheld some of that from me up front. And then he led me through. And so God kept things from me that I didn't need to know. And he also keeps things from me that so that I will lean on him, so that I will trust him, so that I will depend on him. He's not going to give us a lot of detail. Why? Because it's a prompting, not an information download. So those are the cautions here. We need to make sure everything is taken as a whole. So what do I feel God is prompting me to do? But also, what does his word say? What are other people telling me? What open doors do I have in front of me? What dreams has God given me? It all works together, and you need to make sure that things are in alignment because God does not contradict himself. So I want to wrap up today by giving you a list of ways to know God is prompting you. Okay, that's the big question anyway, right? How do I know that God is prompting me? So I want to talk quickly through some different ways that you can feel confident God is prompting you. So the first one is this. When I am in God's presence and out of the blue, a thought comes to me and it's sticky. Okay, the thought doesn't go away, but it wasn't something I was thinking about. It wasn't something I was planning for. And just boom, there's this thought bomb that goes off in my brain and it won't go away. You can't get away from it. It's just there. You're praying and boom, there it is. Maybe you weren't even praying about that thing, but you just can't dodge that thought. That's what happened to me as I talked about in that coffee shop about 7-8 years ago, that God used that moment. Okay, number two, when I have a thought that clearly falls into line with God's word. When I have a thought that clearly falls into line. So, for example, to encourage someone, to reach out to someone, to buy a meal for someone. You're praying and you feel like, I should call this person. I think they might be feeling pretty down. I don't know why, but I just have this feeling that they might be pretty low right now. Or you feel like you should take a meal to someone in need. Both of those are right in line with God's word and how we are to treat other people. You don't have to spend a lot of time wondering in those moments, is this you, God? Am I really supposed to do this? Because even if it's not God, you're living out his will anyway. Pick up the phone. Go buy the meal. Whatever you need to do. Those kinds of things, just step out and do it. Number three, when I receive a specific direction from the Lord about something I wasn't even considering. It's like all of a sudden it just comes to your mind when it came to me church planning. I can remember that time. I wasn't thinking about it, but all of a sudden it was like there was this prompting from the Lord. It was there. So when God changes your direction, when I'm reading scripture and a verse jumps off the page and I can't get it off my mind, even if I've read that verse many times before, all of a sudden it's like this searing like arrow into my brain. It won't go away. So many times this has happened to me. As I've been reading the Bible, I'll be praying and I'll just be going through my normal devotional time and I get to a verse and this verse just jumps off the page. It's like it's printed in a different color ink, and I'm not talking about the red letters, you know, of Jesus speaking, but something like it's lit up. It just comes off the page at me and I can't let it go and I keep coming back to it. And when that happens, I stop. I stop and I think, Holy Spirit, I know you have set your hand on my heart and on this verse, and you are saying get a hold of that because this is for you. This is God's word for you. And I stop and I meditate on that verse and I pray over that verse and I begin to journal what God is saying to me for that. And so God speaks to me at times through specific verses of scripture that he makes come alive in my life. The next thing, when the prompting keeps coming to my heart and mind, and what I am being prompted to do makes me uncomfortable. Okay, this is big. This one is huge. God's ideas often conflict with our ideas. God's ideas often conflict with our ideas, and that makes us uncomfortable. You know, when you get that prompting, hey, you should go share Christ with your neighbor. That's the Lord. Oh, I think I need to pray about that a little more. I need to make sure. You don't need to pray more. You need to obey more. If you get that prompting from the Lord, go do it. Have you ever like seen a person you didn't know and you felt like you should go pray for them? You ever had that one? That one's uncomfortable. I've been there. And I'm sorry to say, there's been times where I've walked away from that prompting. I felt God prompting me to go pray for someone that I saw on the street and I did not know who they were. I'd never met them before, but God just, I knew. I was supposed to go pray for them, and I wimped out. I've been there. I've had other times where I obeyed that prompting, and I said, hey, I don't know you, and I don't know what you're going through, but I just feel like I'd like to pray for you. Would that be okay? And the person breaks into tears because God had set that moment up. Guys, if God is prompting you and you're uncomfortable, that's where we need to suck it up, we need to put on our big boy pants, and we need to obey. Prayer is a game changer. And when God prompts you, I want you to go and pray for that person, and you do that, you will make a difference in that person's life or even their eternity. That's a prompting from the Lord. Next one, when a prompting is confirmed by my spouse or through people in my close circle. Okay? Sometimes I'm thinking about something that either I feel like God is wanting me to do or someone that God is wanting me to reach out to. And all of a sudden, you know, I've been thinking about this for a day or so, and Melissa comes up to me and says, you know what? I've been thinking about so-and-so. Or, you know, I can't get this person off my mind. And then you're like, wow, because you know instantly that when another person you know is confirming that, that's a prompting from the Lord. So God will speak to both of us and bring us into alignment. Another one is when the prompting comes with a sense of urgency or some other strong emotion like sadness or a burden or enthusiasm. When you get this idea and you start feeling anxious or heavy or pained, you need to pray and obey. God is touching your heart on behalf of someone else. I've had it happen many times in my life where a friend would come up to me and say, hey, last week you were on my heart and I was praying for you a whole lot last week. And it was right in the middle of one of those times where you want as many people as possible praying for you. You know, those times where we go through those in life. And you just don't want to reach out, but you just wish people were praying for you. Well, God stepped in and got people praying for me, even when I wasn't asking. And so when God lays someone on your heart and you feel that burden or you feel that emotional attachment to that, you need to obey. And finally, the last one, and if Chris Ann could come up, is when an overwhelming peace follows obedience to the prompting. When an overwhelming peace follows your obedience to the prompting. So here's the thing. You feel this prompting and you step out and you did it. And after you did it, after you stepped out in faith and after you did what you felt God was prompting you to do, even though you were only 52% sure, you weren't all the way there, but you did it anyway. And on the other side of this, you just feel like the pleasure of heaven. You know, you felt that peace of God because you knew you were obedient. And the Holy Spirit on the other side of your obedience confirms that to you. And you feel that rising up within you. And what that teaches you is how that all started back on the front end. You go back in your mind, you think, okay, I knew God was in that, and now that I've done it, and now that the Holy Spirit has confirmed this, I know that that was from God. And so you learn to hear the voice of God. Is he prompting you? Sure he is, all the time. Nehemiah, once again, then the Lord my God put it into my heart. You know what? As I was thinking about this verse, and as I've been meditating on this verse and what it means not only in my own life and how I can discern the voice of God, but thinking about this in yours as well, that has been my prayer for you. That God would put things in your heart. That God would drop ideas into your mind. That God will put it into your heart too. God wants to do that. It's one of the ways that God speaks. He puts it in our heart. He gives us the idea. And then we have the responsibility to step out and obey. And as we wrap up this series today, my prayer continues to be that you will hear the whisper of God. As we started this series, I had several people after the first week of this come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm so excited that you're doing this series because this has been one of the biggest questions I've had is how am I supposed to hear God's voice? Multiple people hit me with that after the first week. And I've been praying for you, church. I've been praying that as we go through this and as we apply and put into practice the different things that we've talked about, that we're going to be a church, we're going to be a group of believers who readily listen to God's voice and immediately act on the other side. That we are a group of people who are moving in the direction that God is leading, and you can't know if you're not listening for his voice. that we will be a church that listens for his voice, hears his voice, and obeys his voice. Spend time listening. Don't make God shout over the rest of the noise in your life. Spend time listening for his voice. Learn his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." They recognize it. That we will be obedient, and then we will be God's voice for one another. That we will encourage, and we will correct, and we will challenge, and we will inspire one another to be all that God intends for us to become. God is speaking. The question is, what is he saying to you? Would you bow your heads with me this morning?